Boston Celtics do it again. They force a game six. The three-pointers are falling. The defense was great. Why this is just like Fight Club right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics, pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day, and I'm here for you every day with a free, fresh podcast dropped directly to the device of all you subscribers. It goes right to that app, your favorite app, so if you're not a subscriber, open that app up, hit subscribe, do the same thing on YouTube, hit that bell, get notified when I drop a video, hop into the comments section. Wonder how many Miami fans are going to be in that comment section today. Celtics win this thing, make this thing a 3-2 series. Only the 15th team of the 150 that have gone down 3-0. Only 15 have forced a game six. The Celtics, now one of those. I'm John Corrales. I used to play. Now I write and talk about the Celtics. You can find my writing on bostonsportsjournal.com. Celtics get the big win in game five, 110-97. Going back to Miami. By the time you're listening to this, I might be on the flight back to Miami. Jaylen Brown's happy. Everybody's happy. Today's show is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk about the game later on. Game six is going to be just crazy. We'll talk about game six. We'll talk about why this is just like Fight Club later on. Why I think this is the best explanation for this series is that movie, basically. But let's get into the flow of the game. In a second, we'll get into some more of the individual performances there. Let's start with Marcus Smart, who set the tone right away in this game. Marcus came in right away, got a steal, got a couple of three-pointers, scored 8 points early on. He came in and set a tone that the Celtics had to follow. The Celtics came out with great energy. The Celtics came out with great focus, and they went on a huge run, which it was 15-5, and then I think it went up to 21-8 at some point. The Celtics just came out right away, opened up that big lead, and just kind of held on to it the rest of the way. They were up by 15 at the end of the first quarter. Then they won the second quarter by two. They won the third quarter by one. And, you know, through garbage time, they lost the fourth quarter. So the game was won in the first quarter when the Celtics just came out and just punched the Miami Heat in the mouth. So Marcus Smart comes out. He hits a couple of three-pointers. Derek White hits a couple of shots. The game is starting to flow. Three-pointers falling, as I've said, is what fuels the Celtics. No different here. Two things that the Celtics need to win this series. Three-pointers falling and their defense. They've had both of those happen in this game. The most Joe Mazzulla stat, the most oversimplified way to say what happened in this game was the Celtics took 39 three-pointers. Miami took 23. The Celtics took 16 more three-pointers than Miami. And that, considering Joe Mazzulla's focus on three-point rate, that's a big number there, because the Celtics shot 40 for 79 in this game. Miami shot 40 for 78. They both made 40 field goals, and in the end, the Celtics only took one more shot than Miami. But Boston was 16 of 39 from three. Miami was 9 of 23. And 9 of 23 is 39%. 16 of 39 is 41%. So it's not that the Celtics came out and blew Miami out of the water with a huge shooting night to Miami's cold shooting night. It's that both teams shot really well from three percentage-wise. It's just Miami was limited to 23 shots from three, while Boston took 39, and their 41% of the much larger number turns out to be a much larger number, and that's where the game is won. Celtics took a few more free throws as well, and I think that's a testament to their defense. So the Celtics certainly were just – some of it is they were just hitting shots. Third quarter, the Celtics, I don't think, were really playing well. I think the third quarter kind of devolved a little bit into Jaylen Brown really looking hard for his offense. And the Celtics did get some shots out of that, make some shots out of that. And so I guess if you're focusing on the process over the results, I didn't like the process. The results were there, though, and the Celtics continued to hold on to their lead. But early on, the way they played with that pace, it's the same story. Pace, move the ball, and Joe Mazzulla said it after the game. I talked about it. The Celtics generated in Game 4 and Game 5 nearly 30 corner three-pointers, which they just hadn't been getting enough of in games 1 through 3. And Mazzulla said, yeah, the spacing was great. And the, you know, getting into the early, just early sets, putting the pressure on the Miami defense and generating just better advantages. And when you have those advantages, Miami's going to collapse. Miami's going to protect the paint, whether they're in zone, whether they're in man, they're going to protect the paint. So there's opportunities to kick out. And the Celtics did get that. So the Celtics did what they're supposed to do and generate a ton of good looks from the corners. When you're taking shots from the corners, that's the most valuable shot in basketball. More so than the layup, unless it's an uncontested layup. Once the layup becomes contested, the percentages of that falling shots at the rim when they're contested, the percentage of those drop to a point where an open corner three is a more valuable shot than something contested at the rim. And the Celtics got those open corner threes, and they got a ton of them from Marcus Smart and Derek White. This game, I think, carries on the theme of this series, where it's the other guys. Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, yeah, you feel like they're going to do what they're going to do, generally speaking. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they're going to do what they're going to do, generally speaking. Which supporting cast can step up? Now, Butler didn't have a great game, and I think they pulled a plug on him a little early. Because as I've been saying on this podcast, this put a lot of pressure. This game put a lot of pressure on Eric Spoelstra to make a decision. That game was right on the cusp. It was an 18-point game, and the Celtics walked it up to about 24 in the fourth quarter. I was always wondering if the Celtics had that big lead, at what point would Spo pull Jimmy Butler and pull Bam Adebayo, but Butler more than anybody, and say, okay, we don't have it. I'm not going to kill him and play him 40 minutes fighting an uphill battle that you're most likely going to lose. You're up 3-1. You have three chances to win one. Then sit Jimmy Butler in the fourth quarter, which he mostly did. He only played 33 minutes. Butler, I think, is getting tired at the end of these games. I think he's had to do so much to get Miami to this point that he's starting to wear down. Spoelstra pulled the plug, I think, earlier than he might otherwise have pulled it, because they're just going to go home and win it, or try to win it, in game 6. That's their goal. Let's just say, you know what? We're not we're not going to ruin Jimmy Butler by making him fight an uphill battle and lose. Let's just save his legs, get him out there, and see if you can't get the big monster Jimmy Butler game in game six. So the Celtics did a good job, I think, holding off the Heat there in the fourth quarter. And I think I was making a point before that I completely forgot, to be honest with you. So I'm going to take a break. We'll get into some of these individual performances here. Smart, White, we'll get more into that. Grant Williams, Jalen Jason, all of these guys will get into some of these things. Malcolm Brogdon, the Gabe Vincent injury stuff that really hurt them. People gave me some blowback on how much that was going to hurt Miami. Turns out it hurt them significantly. We'll talk about that next. First, let's talk about Game Time, which is going to get you last-minute tickets to the events that you want to go to, and not just sports. I mean, you could, if you're in the Miami area, you want to go down to the Casillas Center and say, hey, you know what? I didn't expect this to come back for Game 6. I'm in Miami. I'm a Celtics fan. Or maybe you're a Heat fan that's listening, and you say, hey, you know what? I missed the first time around. I'm going to download the Game Time app. I'm going to go and see if I can get myself a last-minute ticket, which you can get because they have the Game Time guarantee, which means you're going to get the best available price. If you find another ticket in the same section or row for less, Game Time gives you 110% of the difference. It's for everything, too. You can a show, comedy show, anything that has, you know, theater and tickets available, you can probably find it on the Game Time app. You get an image of your seat before you buy, so you know what you're getting into. It's not some surprise and you have a horrible seat. You can couple of taps that gets you the tickets. They're sent directly to your phone. Get those tickets without the stress. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. That's LOCKEDONNBA. Terms apply. Create the account, redeem the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Thank you for making Lockdown Celtics your first listen every day. So here's the plan for the rest of the week. This is the Friday show. I'm traveling on Friday to go to Miami. So I will be back Saturday night after game six. Hopefully not the last post-game podcast I'm going to do this season. So make sure you're subscribed to get the game six post-game podcast. And then obviously podcast the rest of the week, getting ready, we hope, for a Monday game seven. Let's get back to this game here. The defense was spectacular. They forced 16 turnovers for 27 points. It's the same exact number, which is weird, that they forced in game four. So the turnovers, the extra possessions, that's what gets Boston really this game. It's the turnovers that lead to transition opportunities. That gets them the opportunity to get some transition three-pointers, get those into the corner there. And the Celtics defended without fouling. One thing I noticed was, now the Celtics did bite on a bunch of upfakes, but they really curtailed that. And a lot of times you saw Jimmy Butler upfake Derek White, and Derek White stayed down, and Butler was like, oh, you didn't jump on that. What do I do now? It's like the game, his whole plan for that game was thrown off by the Celtics not biting on fakes. They've been on a couple, but he ended up shooting six free throws, missing two. So 4 of 6, weird free throw shooting night. Celtics missed a bunch, 14 for 19. But Jimmy Butler, 4 of 6. Then after that, Caleb Martin, 2 of 2. Duncan Robinson, 2 of 2. That's it. Celtics stayed down on these fakes. Bam Adebayo didn't go to the line once. None of these guys, Kyle Lowry didn't grift his way to anything. And that brings me to the Gabe Martin injuries. Gabe Vincent. It's the amalgam. Gabe Martin, Caleb Vincent, whatever it is. Those two guys have been killing the Celtics. And in this one, Martin was pedestrian. 14 points on 5 of 12 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3. I mean, decent. You know, okay game. That's the kind of game I would expect from Caleb Martin. That's generally what I expect from Caleb Martin. But not having Gabe Vincent hurt them a lot because now they started Kyle Lowry, and Kyle Lowry was just awful. 2 of 5 shooting, 5 points. He had 4 turnovers and just looked bad. And I tweeted out that when Gabe Vincent was out, I said, that's going to give the Celtics some place to attack. And I guess people forget that Kyle Lowry is just not that great now. Not to say that he doesn't have the potential for a good game here or there, so it's not like you can just ignore him, but every time he tried to drive, it just looked like it went poorly. He just did not have a good game. And that really hurt Miami. Gabe Vincent is not afraid to take three-pointers. To only get 2 three-pointers out of that point guard position is a little bit tough. Part of why the Heat were unable to generate a lot of their three-pointers. They got, Kevin Love didn't play much. He only took the one. Max Strus took 4. Lowry took 2. Not a ton. Caleb Martin shot 5. And Hayward Highsmith was 3 of 4. It's almost like you wasted a good Hayward Highsmith game. Hayward Highsmith loves playing at the Garden, man. That's another good shooting game for him at the Garden. I'm starting to just keep an eye on Hayward Highsmith as potential future Celtics killer, because we were joking around about it before the game in the, having our dinner. And I was like, this is going to be the game where Highsmith comes back in and drops like 18. I think he used the actual number 18. He had 15 and just crushes you. You've done everything else, and he just has this weird outlier game that beats you. And you know what? The bench really is what kept Miami in the game. Caleb Martin had 14. Duncan Robinson continues to just annoy the hell out of me by scoring 18 points on 7 of 10 shooting. Remember when Duncan Robinson was horrible and they were trying to trade him and they couldn't do it? Ah! So frustrated to watch him be effective now. And then Hayward Highsmith had 15. So the Miami bench did all of the damage. Let's see, what's that? 39 and 4, 43. And 8 is 51 minus the, I'm not counting the Omar Yurtseven bucket. But that's a lot of points. That's almost half their points, an even split. Meanwhile, Boston gets 21 from Jalen, 21 from Jason, 24 from Derek White, 23 from Marcus Smart. So that's that 20, 40, 60, 80, 7, 8, 9. 89 of 110 for Boston was from the starters, from those 4 starters, plus 6 from Al Horford, who was good in the game but didn't do a ton offensively. The bench, the Celtics bench, Brogdon played 8 minutes and just couldn't go. He didn't play in the second half. I don't know what he's going to be able to give the rest of this series. So if he can't be effective out there, then it's going to be a lot more Grant Williams. They tried a little bit of Peyton Pritchard in there, which didn't go well. Robert Williams, only 18 minutes, but he got a couple of lobs. I thought he was fairly effective in his limited time, but they just rolled with Jalen and Jason. 38 minutes for Derek White. Grant Williams got a big game for, had 27 minutes. So the Celtics just rode their starters, short rotation, and that's where they got a lot of their production. Jalen has been great. I thought Jalen, aside from the early part of the game where he just looked, the first, I'd say, 3-4 minutes of the game were just horrible for Jalen Brown. Then he recovered really, really well. 21 points, 9 of 18 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3. Patient, super, super patient from Jalen Brown offensively. He had 3 steals as well. But at one point in the game, I was just, man, this guy is just seeing the floor really well. Now, he only had 2 assists, but moving the ball the way he did, that's about as good as Jalen Brown's going to play. Again, in the third quarter, he had a little stretch where it was like, okay, let's not slow it down so much. Let's not just make this the Jalen Brown hour. Let's kind of get back to the ball movement. But even when he missed or when he decided to give it up, the Celtics got points out of it. So Yeah, I think that's that was about a pretty good Jaylen game, which is great because he had not been having a good series. 21 points for Jason Tatum. He had 11 assists. That's his first double-digit assist game of the playoffs. 8 rebounds, so a couple rebounds shy of a triple-double. He did have the 4 turnovers, and he had a tech. Weirdly, I think the technical foul might have kind of settled Tatum down, because after the early tech, which might get rescinded because the technical foul wasn't for hanging on the rim if you watched it. It was for complaining about Lowry. I think Kyle Lowry kind of pushed him when he was in the middle of the air. And that's a dangerous place to be, man. When you're in the air and you're going in for a dunk and somebody just touches you a little bit, it doesn't take that much to throw you off balance. And it's a good thing that he had that dunk and he could hang on the rim, but he came down pretty pissed off and he let Mark Davis have it. And Davis called a technical foul, which at the time we're like, well, that's a crappy tech. That's so early. And for him to blow the whistle there felt a little excessive, but I think in a weird way, he did Jason Tatum a favor because Tatum had to control himself after that. He had to control himself and he largely did. And he couldn't worry about the officiating quite as much. And he ended up being really, really good, attacking the rim really well. He was 1 of 6 from 3, which means he was 7 of 10 from 2. He had a couple of nice mid-range shots. He's really, I think Jason Tatum is really hitting his stride and having a couple of really good performances here after a few bad ones. Derek White was amazing for 24. You're not going to lose a game where Derek White shoots 6 of 8 from 3. You're just not going to. 24 points on 73% shooting overall, 6 of 8, 75% from 3. You're not going to lose games when he's playing like that. This is about the role players, and without Gabe Vincent, like I said before, who just generates a lot of three-pointers and a lot of offense for Miami, Caleb Martin was the only guy that was shooting with any kind of heavy volume. And even that, I don't even know if you would call it heavy volume, 5 three-pointers anymore. Meanwhile, the other guys for Boston, Derek White, 24 points. Marcus Smart, 23. 4 of 6 from 3. Again, the Celtics got 16 three-pointers. They got 10 of them from Derek White and Marcus Smart. That's just that's incredible. You don't see those numbers very often. Let me take a second here. I'll come back. We'll wrap up some of the individual stuff. I'll get into Game 6 and this whole thing in my head about how this is like Fight Club. We'll talk about that next. First, let's talk about Bird Dogs, the most comfortable shorts you're going to find, most stylish, comfortable shorts you're going to find. They look great. I got some. They're nice, stretchy fabric. They got the lining built in. The beauty of these is how versatile they are. NBA is all about versatility. Bird Dogs, they look good, they feel good, and they're versatile. One pair of shorts, you're going to put them on in the morning. It's Memorial Day weekend. You put them on, you go play a round of golf, you come back, you hop in the pool, you jump out of the pool, you dry off, same pair of shorts, go meet your significant other's parents, all in the same pair of shorts. They look great. It dries off quickly. It's amazing. So check them out. Go to birddogs.com/lockdownNBA. Not only are you going to get a good deal on these shorts and pants and everything else that they have, when you enter the promo code LOCKDOWNNBA, they'll toss in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. So you now have the Bird Dogs tumbler that you can use to take your little traveler with you, or a coffee, or whatever you want, while you're wearing these stylish, great-looking, very versatile shorts. That just, guys, I know you don't want too many options. This takes away a ton of options. You just wear one pair of shorts everywhere. So check them out, birddogs.com/lockedonNBA. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. I'll be back, like I said, for Game 6 at the Kasaya Center. If you want to listen to Game 6, you can check out the local radio broadcast on Sirius XM on Saturday night. You can go to the SXM app. If you don't have SiriusXM, or if you can't listen to SiriusXM in your car or at home, download the SXM app. You can check out Grandy and Max on the call. If you don't want to listen to TNT and their broadcasters, you can just check out Grandy and Max on the SiriusXM app. Sometimes I'll do that when I'm at home watching, sync up the app to the game, and you can enjoy that commentary versus the other commentary, which I will say I won't name names, but check them out on the SiriusXM app. All right, a couple of other individual player notes. I get to shout out Joe Mazzulla first of all. Joe Mazzulla is on a 2-game streak of really calling some quality timeouts, and maybe he's just stumbled into a pattern there with his timeouts that really is it's not like anything we've seen all season long. He's stepping in. The desperation is forcing him to kind of step in and say, "Hey, I got to do something." When you're disjointed, when you need you need to get yourself together, I need to step in, and it's working. He's gone. It's going really, really well. So I thought Marcus Smart, like I said before, set a real good tone. 23 points, 5 steals for Marcus Smart. The Celtics got 13 steals, 4 block shots in this one. The turnover battle was huge, and the Celtics just not going to win if you don't win the turnover battle. Let's see. What other notes do I have? The Brogdon injury is going to be something to watch. If he can't play, then they need to figure something else out. But I hope he can end up playing. At the very least, if you can get through this game 6, if he tries it and he doesn't have it, then there's something else. You know, you got to go a different direction. Mazzulla went to Peyton Pritchard, which was a mistake. Try Sam Hauser. Just try Sam Hauser and see how that goes. Hauser came in garbage time and hit a 3-pointer, which probably saved a lot of people who would bet the Celtics -8, and they were getting perilously close. It was a 10-point game, and Hauser hit that 3 to make it a 13-point game. You go the other way, and if one of Miami's garbage time guys hit a 3-pointer, boy, a lot of Celtics bettors would have been a little pissed off. So I think that's it. I think the Celtics got some really good performances from some key guys that hadn't been performing well necessarily. Now they're heading into game 6, which I'm telling you right now, game 6 is going to be an absolute epic, just knock down, drag out. This is going to be what a game 7 would normally be, because Miami doesn't want to come back to Boston. They do not want to come back to Boston. They are done traveling. I think they're going to come out strong. They're going to come out with a ton of energy, a ton of effort. They might hit Boston with a double-digit lead early. Boston in game 6 has to be ready for that punch. They have to be ready for that punch. Absorb it, start to give it back, get it close by the end of the first quarter, get it closer by halftime, come out strong in the third quarter, take it in the fourth. That's how I'm approaching game 6. I think that's going to be the key to the Celtics getting through game 6. But Miami's going to throw everything that they have. I think Spo sells out to win game 6, because I think he's going to know, yeah, you have 3 opportunities to win this one game, but game 7 on the road with all that momentum and how good the talent is, talent tends to win out. Gabe Vincent or no Gabe Vincent. And it's incredible to me that Gabe Vincent made this much of a difference. That's wild. Tyler Hero, I don't know if he's going to be back at all in game 6 or game 7, but he was out there warming up and looking decent. I don't know how close he would be, or if they're just saying he'll be back in case there's a finals. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he's back for a game 7. But how much is Miami going to count on a guy that's missed a month? What kind of shape is he going to be in? But if it's a game six and they're desperate, this is their game seven, they'll throw everything they have at the Celtics. Jimmy Butler's going to have the best game of the series. And the question for Butler is, how much does he have left in the tank? Because he's fading late in games. And this is the second straight game where he has not played particularly well. 5 of 10 shots, that's fine. But the only 10 shots in 33 minutes. Again, I think his game plan was, I'm going to go live at the line. And when he threw some up fakes at Derek White and whoever else was guarding him, after the initial kind of first quarter where the Celtics were just biting on everything, he came down. I see him, he throws a couple of fakes, nothing happened. And then he was just like, well, I'm out of ideas, because I think he has been living on the Celtics fouling him and getting frustrated about the fouls. And he's been getting his rhythm at the free throw line. And that's how he's been closing games. Well, in the blowouts, there's nothing to close out for him. But also, with the Celtics staying down, 6 free throws, that's a killer. That's a killer. Miami is not going to win any games shooting 10 free throws. That's not going to happen. The Celtics did a really, really, really good job defending without fouling. He's going to try every trick he has to come out in game six. And whether it's grifting his way to free throws, looking for more of that, or whatever else, I expect Jimmy Butler to have a monster game. Bam Adebayo, we'll see. But whatever it is that Miami can do, they will do it. Because I think Spo knows if they come back for a game seven, sure, you can win a game seven, but game seven on the road is going to be difficult. So game six, just survive it. Just survive it. Whatever happens, whatever you need to do, whoever needs to score, whoever needs to get a stop, whoever needs to get that last loose ball, that's what the Celtics have to do. If they can do that, if they can survive game six, this is the hardest game of the series. Survive game six, come home, beat the crap out of Miami in game seven, go to the NBA Finals. If that happens, I'm going to call it a 7-game sweep, because you win 4 in a row, it's called a sweep. They just did it in 7 games. But game six is going to, I'm getting ahead of myself. Celtics cannot get ahead of themselves. And to Marcus Smart's credit, he was asked the question about winning a couple of games, and he immediately was like, no, we're winning one game. We got to win one game, and then we'll worry about another game if we get there. Which brings me to my final point, and this was my piece on Boston Sports Journal, my post. I do 2 pieces on Boston Sports Journal. I do a game report, which is just basically a whole kind of recap, key points, all that stuff in the game. And then I have a column or a deeper analysis, depending on what the game calls for. So I wrote a column, Welcome to Fight Club, where Boston only thrives after getting punched in the face. And it just struck me the other day that the Celtics are the main characters of Fight Club. That's what this series is. That's what these playoffs are. They are the characters of Edward Norton and Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt, obviously, is Tyler Durden. Norton is the unnamed narrator. The Celtics are basically the amalgam of both those guys, both those characters, which, as we know in Fight Club, hopefully no one is upset about the spoiler. It's the same dude. The Celtics are these two characters at the same time. One meek, kind of like, oh my God, you know, woe is me kind of team. And then the other one is like this badass, shirtless, bare knuckle fighter that's just kicking the crap out of everybody. And I just kind of don't know which one of those guys is going to show up. But I know that they don't do anything until they're punched in the face. They're just, they can't find themselves until they get punched, until they get into this real fight. And after the game, like, guys were – Jason Tatum was so funny because he's like – he was asked the question about, like, why – like, basically, why? Why is it like this? And he said, I wish I didn't know the answer, you know, which is kind of funny. I wish I didn't know the answer, he said. For some odd reason, even last year, we always seem to make it a little tougher on ourselves. But what I do know is that you can see the true character of a person, of a team, when things aren't going well. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. That's the true character. Why do you need to get punched in the face? Why do you need that to be your best? Why do you need that? It's a very frustrating, dumb way to operate. But this is Fight Club. It's a long path towards just the self-discovery, this path towards figuring yourselves out and being your best. But it's the dumbest, most violent, impossible to figure out path to take. It's a path that none of us would generally take because we don't want to get our butts kicked along the way. But the Celtics are just willingly getting into Fight Club and getting their heads kicked in. And then they go, okay, oh, I'm about to lose this fight. Oh, let me recover here and just lay waste to these opponents. It's weird. It doesn't make sense, but this is their path. They are Tyler Durden and they're just those two characters. They're just all kind of mixed up and they're in their Tyler Durden mode. They're in their ass kicking mode right now. It's wild. It's the best way I can put it. I have no idea. I have no idea why they do this. I have no clue, but here we are. Game 6, Saturday night. That's going to be fun. I'll be in Miami. I'll be podcasting from Miami. Bonus podcast Saturday night into Sunday. Then I'll come home, podcast for you Sunday night into Monday. And then Monday night, hopefully, I'll have a podcast for you from the Garden where somebody's season will end. I am confident. I've grown more confident. I've been saying on this podcast from the beginning, since game 3, just throw it out there. Be like, hey, probably not going to happen, but let's just throw it out there. If it does happen, this is the scenario where it could happen. So let's just kind of see what happens. And the Celtics win that one game. Okay. I don't know. The odds are stacked against them, but if it's going to happen, this is how it's going to happen. Now they've won 2 and the odds are a little bit more in their favor. Still got to get through game 6. Got to get through game 6. This is going to be the hardest one. Survive game 6. I'm podcasting in a Kung Fu Panda costume. For those of you who aren't on Twitter and who are still listening at this point, I did promise after my whole panda thing from Miami after game 3, where I called these guys cuddly little fluffy pandas because all they do is exist on a single food source, which is 3-pointers. Well, that got some traction. And now I promised if the Celtics win this thing in 7, I will do a podcast after that in Kung Fu Panda costume. So get ready for that. If there's a reason to subscribe, that's the reason to subscribe. So make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. Watch the show on YouTube. Listen to the radio call on the SiriusXM app, the SXM app. Grandy and Max, listen to that game on Saturday night. And if you're a regular listener, an everydayer, you want to do me a favor, share the podcast, tell your friends and family and everybody that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.